Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
You want an interesting stat that you're going to get all lathered up over, Binkley?
You mean Mini Bink?
Yeah, right, Mini Bink, yeah. Or everybody.
I love that.
This comes from a guy named Warren Sharp on X, formerly Twitter. He's at Sharp Football.
Yeah.
Does analytics and stats and that kind of stuff, so you know he's right.
Is this on the calls and everything?
Yeah. I saw a crazy stat yesterday on ESPN that I could not believe. The last 4 years, over the last 11 playoff games for the Chiefs, zero games the Chiefs had more penalties. 10 games the opponents had more penalties. Wow.
You can keep going. There's like a thread of that, because then Mr. McIntyre of the Herd brings up another tweet, and then he gets bodied by a guy that used to work here. And Nick Wright says, well, or you can look at the actual facts that matter, where they've outscored their opponents 78 points more, 9 more wins, but let the conspiracies go on through infinity.
Right. That's what they want to do. They just want to look. Or here's the other thing, too. And I know this doesn't play well nationally, and I'm sure Russo won't understand this if we explained it to him. But like Andy Reid, as a veteran head coach, is really, really good at getting his players ready for these games and telling them not to commit these penalties. Now, so, I mean, coaching does matter in these games, and getting players ready and prepared for these games does matter. It is very impactful. And so I think having a veteran coach and veteran players that have been there before, that factors in as well to why these guys aren't committing penalties. Like, I can't believe we're still here on Wednesday. And this is my fear going into this game. I said it yesterday, is that this is going to be talked about and discussed so much that they're going to be on high alert, and we may see the referees reverse things and go the other way and do call things that aren't there.
That's Robert Feline, or some people call him the Bobcat.
That's right.
I thought you might like that.
I thought that was funny yesterday.
Yeah, that's great.
The real name for a Bobcat is Robert Feline?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Where's that been my whole life? Man, you talk about some interesting stuff going on in the NFL before we get to this this topic that we'll get with getting Josh Allen under pressure. Detroit's coaches are leaving quickly.
Yeah, they are. They're running.
They just lost their defensive line coach to the New England Patriots.
Oh, really? Josh McDaniels?
Terrell Williams is leaving the Lions, as one Dan Campbell said, is the best defensive line coach in the NFL. And they did interview Josh McDaniels yesterday for their offensive coordinator
job.
Oh, they hired him.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. He got hired. Oh, yeah. He got hired.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Is he bringing Tom Brady with him?
No, he's in Vegas.
Oh.
We called that, by the way, I think about 3 weeks ago on this show.
I think we did say that Josh McDaniels.
Vrabel was going to get the head coaching job. It's like, go call Mike McDaniels, and Rob Gronkowski did it on Fox pregame show.
Yep.
Then it does happen. Now they're going to get Detroit Lions defensive line coach. Don't look now, but Patriots might be building something. They're trying to go back to the old days.
They see that you can't go back to the old days, though. You got to move forward. And I understand Josh McDaniels may be a great offensive coordinator with Tom Brady.
That's all he should ever. I think he's a good offensive coordinator in general.
Is he?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
I think that's what he can do. I don't think he can coach a team, lead a team.
No.
I think he's obviously failed that miserably twice. But just stay in your lane, bro. You know, you're an offensive coordinator. You can work with the quarterback. Get Drake May to where he needs to be, and I bet it works out well for Josh McDaniels.
I think they'll be very successful up there.
Miami's declining.
Yep.
The Jets, no one knows. Buffalo's still the supreme. Go be the Chargers of this year, right?
Right.
Go be competitive in your division, sneak into the wild card, and then maybe upset somebody. Maybe not. Maybe be the team that gets in, play with house money. You never know, because that's what it looks like for New England. Josh Allen, right, doesn't get sacked a lot. Has a really good offensive line. But there are ways to disturb Mr. Allen, and that is adding pressure. Mr. McMorray, what do you say?
I mean, yeah, for me, I mean, you look at that game in, what was it, week 11 or so against Buffalo, they could not get to Josh Allen at all. Only one pressure, rushing four. Every time that they had to get to Josh Allen, Spags had to drop a blitz. And now he's one of the best at doing that. They blitz at a higher rate than most any other team. But throughout the course of the whole game, especially in that first half, Spags likes to be a little more conservative. If they can't get to Josh Allen with four, it's going to be tough. Now, we've talked about the differences between the Chiefs in Week 11 and now. There's quite a few, right? One of those on defense, and his name's Chuck Minihue.
He's made everybody better.
Chaz. He has made everyone better, Bob. Seven sacks. Karloftis
it's like Mac with us, Dusty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, me to you. Karloftis has seven sacks since Charles has come back in week 12. Yeah. So seven of his, what, nine, eight sacks
eight
on the
season.
Yeah, seven of his eight sacks.
He had one before Minihue was
before
in.
Minihue came back.
He has seven now.
Right, and he's now four shy of the all-time lead in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason.
Behind the shark.
I mean, we talk about it in baseball terms all the time. Like, who's batting behind you, you know? Mm. You got to have guys batting behind you that are legit and playing alongside of you that are legit. I mean, you line up along the line of scrimmage. Like, Derek Thomas was awesome. Neil Smith was pretty damn good, too. And so was Dan Saliamua. You know, like, there were guys on the Bill Moss back in the day. Like, those guys, that was a hell of a defensive line. You look at Lawrence Taylor. Carl Banks was on the other side. Leonard Marshall. Mm-hmm. You had good football players surrounding them. You're only as good as your supporting cast is. A superstar can't carry everybody unless you have other good players alongside of you. And I'm not saying Karloftis or anybody like that's a superstar right now.
Definitely
could be.
Keep getting three sacks in a playoff game.
You get three sacks against Josh Allen this week in this game, people are going to be talking about George Karloftis. They're going to be saying that kid's going to be something someday.
He'll be a household name.
Yeah.
Like that Travis Tritt song.
That's exactly right. I'm going to be somebody. Or wait, I got rice cooking in the microwave. Was that the one?
Same
song.
No, different song. That's a great day to be alive.
It is a great day to be. Every day is a great day to be alive, right? Except if you're, you know, Joe Burrow, who's not better than Andy Dalton.
Leave him alone. Joe Burrow missed like two full seasons.
I'm just going to spit facts, man. Facts.
That's also being like Justin Herbert has more passing yards in his first 3 years than Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Mahomes didn't play his first year.
Well,
Burrow missed like basically two full seasons.
I don't care. I'm tired of the Joe Burrow derangement syndrome where people are out here peddling like this guy's the second coming and he's sitting at home in
Drew
Cancun.
Nixon here all pissed off on Code Red, man.
Okay. scares me. Ooh, Joe Burrow. He's a fraud.
Oh, my God,
What would we be saying?
Don't call him a fraud,
What would
Rob.
We be saying about Joe Burrow if he didn't beat Patrick Mahomes in that AFC championship?
You're talking about just like you are Josh Allen, and you can't erase history.
No, you can't. No.
Facts are facts.
Facts are facts, right. Joe Burrow, not as good as Andy Dalton. Facts.
Okay. No.
One guy's name is Joe Cool. The other guy is the Red Rocket.
Red Rifle.
Red Rifle. Red Rocket is your dog.
He's been cut and still gets it. I don't know
what's
going on.
Yeah, that doesn't stop.
Okay.
Like, damn, you have pillows?
Man, anything strong down there. You need to get Elon on that rocket.
I remember my pug growing up, Herbie. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Thanks so much, Herbie.
And he was fixed, too.
Also, for the Chiefs to beat the Bills, they got to have their receivers not named Xavier Worthy step up.
Yep. I mean, no Hollywood, no D-Hop. They've got to
have it.
And didn't need it, right? You know, the corners for Houston are so good. Those edge rushers are coming to you quick. That's not the way. You heard Danan talk about it yesterday. They've got Milano. They've got good safeties. They're going to be better maybe against Travis Kelce.
They're going to play a lot of nickel.
Yep, a lot of nickel, a lot of dime.
This Milano thing is interesting because for years now, Josh and I used to joke about this Milano guy because every year playing Buffalo, well, if we had Matt Milano covering Travis Kelce, and he's never been there.
Well, now
he's here.
Finally, so let's see.
But he's also 10 years older than he was when we first talked about this guy, right?
So like, is Travis.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter.
Does Matt Milano scare people? Like, is that like that seemingly?
I think it's just the unknown that you just mentioned. Yeah. We haven't seen it. Yeah. Like, let's go. I mean,
makes a great cookie for Pepperidge Farm. I'll tell you what, man.
What was the guy, Kyle Hamilton? Everybody was talking about him last year in the AFC Championship game. First drive, they target him and put a dot right in Kelce's arm and for a touchdown. And Mitch Holtz said to wrap that thing up with duct tape and stuck it in there.
First and only touchdown that he allowed all season against Travis Kelce. So I assume similar things to happen to Milano. You mentioned the bracket, or Dana mentioned the brackets. We'll have a safety there. Mm-hmm. That'll lead more for those receivers who the Buffalo Bills, they don't have great cornerbacks.
Yeah.
So I would assume man coverage.
And they got injuries in the defensive backfield as well, too.
Yes.
So
D-Hop, Hollywood Brown, it's time. Let's go. Wake up.
I think what we're going to see ultimately is Matt Milano retire at halftime.
It's also a different game, man. You got Tooney at left tackle. Hollywood Brown's playing. Omenihue's playing. Jalen Watson's playing. Pacheco's in there. And then Buffalo's got a bunch of players as well. Coming up on the other side, there was a quote yesterday from Patrick Mahomes on the drive with Carrington Harrison and Rob Breton about, is this possibly the last ride for 87? We'll do that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Tries to throw, light caught, touchdown, Kansas City. The best quarterback to pass catcher duo in National Football League history.
Yeah! Hell of a game, dog. Win a play, dog. Go get another one. Let's go get another one.
That audio of NFL.com, NFL Films, as they did the game last week as well with every other game. Patrick Mahomes' pass to Travis Kelce over Aziz Al-Shaair when he just stood over him. Welcome to the league, kid. You punk.
Yeah, he's a cheap shot artist, that guy. Yeah. He sucks.
Well, he's watching.
His stand-up's good, though.
Yeah, he's watching the rest of this playoff round.
You think he is? You think those guys are watching once they get eliminated, do you? 100%.
100%.
Because I know if anything should happen that I don't like, I ain't watching that game on that 9th of February.
It's their life.
Which means I don't think they are watching. They're down in Cancun enjoying Mai Tais and forgetting about life for a few weeks.
We'll get into the last of Max Pack and Bob's Bottom Feeders here in about 10 minutes, but quite possibly Kansas City. I know you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to hear about it. You don't want to think about it. But this might be the last ride for 87 in Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. This might be your last opportunity to see Travis Kelce play a game in your stadium in his career. Now, I know that we've seen the quotes from Taylor Swift that says, oh, I like that he's doing it. He's still able to do it. I hope he keeps playing. He's enjoying it. I love it as well. We also are the home for Kansas City Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes joins Carrington every Tuesday. And he had this to say when Carrington asked him if this is possibly Patrick or Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead.
I have no idea. He hasn't said anything to me if he's thinking that. So I know he signed a 2-year extension before the season, and he seems like he still loves football, but he also has a great life as well. So either way, man, I just appreciate every single time I step on the field with that guy, knowing that he's a true legend of not only the Chiefs but of the NFL. And if it's his last game, let's go out there and get him a win. And if it's not his last game, let's go out and win anyways, huh?
Ask me if it's Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead.
Is it his last game at Arrowhead?
Yes. Ask me if it's Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead.
Is it Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead?
No. Okay. Like, I don't know what the right answer is to that question, because both yes and no make complete sense. And it's okay to have both sides be the right answer, but not know which one to pick, right? Like, you could see Travis Kelce, if they win this game, walk out of Arrowhead Stadium with another AFC championship going on to the Super Bowl to win that crown. Now, there's a couple of things that are floating out there about Travis Kelce that we need to get to the bottom of. He's 225 yards behind Jerry Rice for the all-time record in post-season receiving yards. He essentially has two more games to get 225 yards if this is the end. Is he going to be able to do that? It's going to be tough. It just is. It's like 225 yards receiving in two games is going to be tough. And he's only two touchdowns behind Jerry Rice for the all-time receiving total of touchdowns in the history of the NFL postseason. I got to be honest with you. From my standpoint, if I'm Travis Kelce, I want those records. Mm-hmm. And I am not taking off my jersey for the final time till I have those records. Because as Bink said earlier, mm-hmm. there are people still debating whether or not Gronk is the better tight end than Travis Kelce at this point in time. Ben Maller this morning said, if I'm Travis Kelce, I ain't leaving that field until they like forcibly force me to leave that field and cut my jersey off. Like, yeah. And so that's kind of where I am. But I would also understand if they three-peat and they win this whole thing, he walks off into the sunset. What a better way to go out on top. But I personally, if I were him, I'd want those records for Jerry Rice, because you're this close. Could you imagine me like 6 yards shy of Jerry Rice and a touchdown shy? You got to come back for one more year.
First game he had 117. If he goes 117 and 117, what is that? That is
that's 200. Over the 225. Yeah.
That'd be what, 328 or 228?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 7-7 is 14. So you put down the four, carry the one, 34.
234. So he'd have it. 234 if he did 117, 117.
Right.
I do think that numbers matter. But I think the one number that matters over them all is the three-peat.
Yeah.
He would then have four titles. He would won three in a row, solidified himself as the GOAT at that position, and would probably go down as the number one pass-catching duo in the history of the NFL until someone eclipsed that later on in the history of the NFL. This, to me, is reason number 132,553.02 roll tide Willie sort of quote there to go see this game.
Yeah.
And I think it's hilarious that some people will do that because that's what you watch this team for. That's why you watch this game. You go to see your superstars. As a kid, I went and saw Cal Ripken in his last tour at Kauffman Stadium. I saw Nolan Ryan's last game in Kauffman Stadium. Don't remember it, but I was there because my dad wanted to see it. Somebody in the text line says this already. They said, I bought tickets for me and the lady yesterday, lower level, fifth row for this reason. The $2,000 was worth it, man. Such a legend.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, one of the, I don't want to say selling points for this game to get people to decide to go to the game. This may be the last time you're going to see Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes play together at Arrowhead Stadium. There's a really good chance that this is the last time that you see both of them play together at Arrowhead Stadium. And if there's one thing I know about in life, and I think we've all been there, you know, Frank Sinatra regrets, I've had a few. If you decide to sell your tickets and not go to this game, and Travis Kelce, and they win, and Travis Kelce does retire after this season, aren't you going to live with that the rest of your life? Going, damn, I missed Travis Kelce's last game with Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead. I had that opportunity to go, and I chose not to. I think that's a big selling point for this game. In addition to, you know, obviously winning and going to the Super Bowl, this may be the last time you get to see Travis Kelce in person in Kansas City.
As a football player.
Well, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he'll still come to games, but I think
that, imagine him banging the drum. He's got to do it on opening day if he retires, right? If they win the Super Bowl and Travis retires, he's got to bang the drum on opening day.
I mean, I don't know. I guess you could use Kling as an example. Like, not everybody gets to go out the way they want to go out, right? Kling was able to do that in this industry that can be super brutal. Same with the NFL. I know that I'm not comparing, like, athletes, but, like, Travis Kelce, if he does win a third championship, gets to go out how he wants to go out. His brother didn't get to do that. I'm sure that's a little, agonizing.
I mean, losing that game in Tampa and walking away with that bad taste in your mouth after last year.
Obviously, he's doing well outside of football. He'll have outside sources be like, hey, man, do you like going up to practice every day? Do you want to do this every, you know, all the time? But
for a lot of these guys, though, it's about that bragging right more so than the money, you know?
And this time will come eventually later on in history for Mahomes. But, I mean, this is like, to me, of this era, this is the first domino that will fall that will no longer be there.
Right.
And I know that perspective sucks sometimes, but this is one of those guys that I've seen every year of their career. I remember him getting drafted out of Cincinnati in the third round, should have been a first round pick, but didn't because marijuana apparently was an evil thing back then as well. And he gets drafted in the third round, misses his entire rookie year with an ACL injury, comes back. He's a hot shot, hot head, you know, throwing towels at referees, saying the foot locker.
This close to getting cut by the Kansas City Chiefs.
And then all of a sudden, it's like this new career happens in the 1,000 yards every season. You start thinking Kelce moments that you'll always remember, whether they're at Arrowhead or not. I'll remember the 3 touchdowns in the first half against Houston. One of the funniest Travis Kelce games of all time. I think he had, 4 touchdowns against Vegas for 25 yards total. 4 catches, 4 touchdowns.
That's right. Remember
yards.
That game. Yeah.
Didn't need to do anything else.
The overtime game against the Chargers in 21. Yeah.
Caught the game winning touchdown in the 13-second game against Buffalo. Fireworks are going off, and him and Mahomes are like, hold on, we got to go say sorry to Josh Allen. We're just blacked out from the greatest game we've ever seen. And you think of all the moments, the parades, the you got to fight, the Viva Las Vegas, the Taylor Swift thing. Like, his career has been loaded.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
From start to finish.
You could arguably say the best sports career in the history of any athlete with everything that's involved.
So I do think if you truly do believe that this is his last game at Arrowhead and you're going, soak it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, get the emotions and the juices of the game itself. But remember, like, when you're out there in the stands and you're seeing 87 do his warm-ups, just watch his attitude. Watch his demeanor. Is he looking up to the rafters? Is he looking at the scoreboard? Is he soaking it all in? Attitude will tell you that because he doesn't know probably right now if it's his last game or not. A lot pending on the rest of his career. Again, 225, 2 touchdowns. He goes for 117 and 117 again in a touchdown each game and wins a title. Then I can ask that question again. Do you think this is Travis Kelce's last
game?
And
then I may say yes. Like, if he has those records and a title when this thing is all said and done, at this point in time, what else do you have to play for? And then at that point in time, you have to ask yourself, am I going to stay around too long? Because you don't want to be Jerry Rice with the Denver Broncos, or you don't want to be Emmitt Smith with the Arizona Cardinals, and you don't want to be, you know, whoever played somewhere where they probably should. DJ with the Raiders. We can throw that out there. Jamal with the Broncos, you know.
Ichiro
stuff like
in
that.
Miami.
Ichiro with the Marlins. Yes. Hall of Famer
Dion
Ichiro.
With the Ravens.
Yeah. Like the list kind of goes on and on and on of guys that you're like, you probably should have left a little bit sooner. But Travis Kelce is going to be the first guy that this generation of sports fans in Kansas City sees, retires, and walk away. And it's going to be the first one since George Brett that really has an impact on us. We've never seen an athlete retire or leave Kansas City that has accomplished this much and has meant so much to this town and to this organization. When he retires and does walk away, people will cry. People will be upset. People will be disappointed. People will be, you know, sentimental and all that. And that hasn't happened since 1993 when George Brett walked away and kissed home plate. And so that shows you the impact and the importance of Travis Kelce as a player. This will be the first retirement from a sport by a player that this generation, our generation of sports fans, truly feels and is impacted by.
Somebody says, must be a slow sports day. We can't be talking about Travis Kelce retiring. The reason we bring it up is because yesterday Mahomes was on the show called The Drive here on 96.5 The Fan with Carrington and Rob Breton, and they asked, and this is the answer.
I mean, I have no idea. He hasn't said anything to me if he's thinking that. So I know he signed a two-year extension before the season, and he seems like he still loves football, but he also has a great life as well. So either way, man, I just appreciate every single time I step on the field with that guy, knowing that he's a true legend of not only the Chiefs but of the NFL. And if it's his last game, let's go out there and get him a win. And if it's not his last game, let's go out and win anyways, huh?
Mm-hmm. Slow sports day is one of the things that I hate the most. That's like blaming the referees.
Yeah. Must be a slow sports day.
Oh, because we're not talking about what you want us to talk about?
Yeah. And there's a couple things I want to get to, because on the text line it says it seems like he would need like a send-off tour. But then they also responded with, but I don't see him being that guy. You also hear the audio of Mahomes being like, well, he hasn't said anything to me about it. I also see Travis Kelce being that guy, going up to him if they do win the third Super Bowl in a row, going, Pat, I'm done, baby. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. I'm done. I'm calling it quits. And then you let the season play out. Don't let there be a distraction, which again goes back to the beginning of this topic, where Travis Kelce used to be and where Travis Kelce is. That is a beautiful career, one that we will always remember.
Yep.
And I will tell you this, man, like, if it is his last one, enjoy it. And if it isn't, then
we have another one to go.
Because I mean, why not? But I'm just saying, like, I don't know the answer, but I know people will say, well, he hasn't said anything about it. He's not that guy. They know what's on the line. They've been talking about this since they got their rings from the two-peat, that they were focused on the three-peat. They're not worried about if this is their last game. I can see this happening where it's all over, and I guarantee you, they win the Super Bowl. I guarantee you, Bob and Mac, if they win the Super Bowl, and what will be Nance that'll be up there doing the ceremony, or whoever, or Fox, I guess.
Fox would be Tom Brady. It'd be Brady. How about Brady presenting a three-peat trophy to Patrick? Oh, it's happening.
Yeah, and then not only that, but like, could you imagine if they give the microphone, like, Travis, is this it? I could see maybe at that moment it goes one of two ways. I'm going to enjoy this, man, think about what everything is, and I'll get to a decision when it matters. Or he's like, yeah, this is it. Let's go out of the
Never parade. Make that decision in that moment. Ever, ever make that decision in that moment, because it will be awful. The only real people who do these retirement tours, a lot of narcissism involved in that, especially when you're not a player and you work in like a front office, you know, PR people,
like,
and do these farewell tours and whatnot, where you announce it before the year and you go on this farewell tour and the whole nine yards, like that. That's look at me, look at me, look at me. I don't sense that out of Travis Kelce. I really don't get that out of Travis. Like, he doesn't need to go to every stadium and get a rocking chair and things of that nature, or, you know, boots or whatever people want to give him to retire. I think Travis Kelce just goes, peace out, man. I ain't feeling 22 anymore. That's how it'll happen.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Yeah.
He didn't play the last game last season for that 1,000 yards, you know, so I don't think he's that kind of guy.
Last one of the year. Just like we had the last library, this is the last Max Pack and Bob's Bottom Feeder time.
It's time for Max Pack.
Bittersweet. Did it all year. The list stayed pretty consistent. Chiefs at the top. Bills were in there. Ravens. Eagles did find their way into my top five list throughout the season. The Detroit Lions became a mainstay. Eventually, throughout midway through the season, I had to finally let go of my Green Bay Packers. You know, trials and tribulations through Max Pack first year, but we did it. Based on next year, we're going to do a couple lists here. So based on next year, going into next year, Max Pack starts like this, okay? Chiefs at one, Buffalo at two. The Washington Commanders, starting for next season, are number three on my Max Pack's list. Jaden Daniels, that defense is building. I think they get another weapon besides Terry McLaurin. Washington is the future in the NFC.
They have a ton of cap space, by the way.
Exactly. Yes. And that defense, that roster, like, isn't great this season.
That's where Tyreek Hill's going to go.
Oh, I saw New England. We can get into that next segment. I think we're doing that, right? Fact or fiction? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, New England. Yeah, I've heard a lot of things about Tyreek Hill.
Baltimore.
Tampa Bay 1-2.
I heard he's got a lot of children as well.
No, you didn't hear. You know.
Oh.
You've seen.
And then Baltimore's going to stay at 4. We can talk. We'll talk about Lamar ad nauseum, I'm sure, all offseason. Then the Atlanta Falcons, my one hot take going into next season for Max Pax. They
you like
are
Michael
fit.
Penix Jr., don't
I like
you?
Michael
yeah,
Penix.
Yeah, Tulsi's good.
I like the coach. Yeah, but he was my third favorite quarterback coming out of the draft. I really like Michael Penix. And the NFC kind of sucks. The NFC South definitely sucks. Mm-hmm. I think Tampa Bay is going to be fine next year, but New Orleans, Carolina, and the rest of the NFC
Does
doesn't
Mike
have
Evans
star power.
Come back next year? What was that contract he signed? Was it like
Mike Evans? I think he has one more year.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year big one.
I believe so.
God, I love that guy too.
He's so good.
Hall of Famer?
No question he's a Hall of Famer. He's just unbelievable.
Imagine if
man.
He and Kelsey both retire this year, the combined 1,000-yard seasons in a row for those two guys. It's like 17, 18.
And yet nobody talks about him ever.
Evans?
Yeah.
And he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Imagine
if he played with Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Or Andy Dalton.
Not only did he win a Super Bowl, he won a quarterback a Heisman.
Well, okay.
There is that.
You guys regularly say that. That's not true, but that's okay. The coaches are remaining. Andy Reid 1, Dan Quinn 2, McDermott 3, Sirianni at 4 for me.
His record indicates that he's going to be in there somewhere. I mean, I know Sirianni's a tool. And not a lot of people like him.
He gets to the Super Bowl, though. You just have to change, man.
Yep. Like he, what is he like? Since he's been a coach, he has more wins in the NFL than other than maybe Andy Reid.
And he has more regular season wins for sure. Yeah.
Regular season.
But here's the thing about him: he's actually a good head coach because he doesn't try to get involved in the X's and O's, man. Just manage that team.
Doesn't know how to do it,
and that's fine. Yeah. Which is fine, I guess.
But I mean, like, fine. Minute left in the game, you got your head coach being like, "All right, guys." And Dave, go ahead and give him the play.
That's right. Empower your people. Be a good leader and, you know, handle the press conference. Look, it works. It works, man. You can't deny it. Like, I was looking at something from one of the stations in Philly this morning on their Twitter feed. If Nick Sirianni wins, do we have to change our opinion on it? Yes! Yes, you do. Like, you can't continue to call somebody a stupid idiot when he's taken his team to the Super Bowl 2 of the last 3 years. You just can't do that. Idiots don't get their teams to the Super Bowl.
I disagree wholeheartedly, but that's okay. I think multiple idiots have won Super Bowl trophies. Sirianni, maybe next.
Who do you think is an idiot that's won a Super Bowl trophy?
Mike McCarthy.
See, I disagree with that. He's overcome narcissism with Aaron Rodgers and Jerry Jones to be a really good coach.
Brian Billick?
I don't know enough to say whether or not. Yeah, I don't know enough. That was like
Tony Dungy?
Well, now I think he's an idiot, but I used to think he was a legit coach.
Yeah,
I think he's a
bottom feeder over there.
I know. I mean, my whole impression of Tony Dungy has changed with the way he handled the Taylor Swift thing. I have no respect for the guy. I never will. Just won't.
He looks like those things from Toy Story that's like the claw. It moves. Yeah. Like, you put one of those characters next to Tony Dungy, tell me I'm wrong, dude. That's amazing. Tell me I'm wrong.
Here's my bottom feeders based on projections for next year going into the season in no particular order. I'm putting Detroit on the list, guys. You lost both of your coordinators. Both of your coordinators are out the door.
And D-line coach.
And D-line coach just left. And that's not going to be the only coaches that leave there. How do you hire an offensive coordinator? They clearly had a good relationship with the quarterback, right? With Jared Goff. Did good things with Jared Goff, whatnot. They had some success up there. How are you going to replace that guy and get those same type of results?
You think that's going to drop him that low?
I think it could. Yeah, well, I mean, Minnesota's going to be good again, right? Green Bay's going to be good again. Like, that division is going to be tough again. You know, it's supposed to be a really, really good division. And if Ben Johnson is this second coming and has Caleb Williams playing like, I don't know, Andy Dalton, then maybe the Bears will be a formidable opponent in that division. Jacksonville. I have no idea. I mean, why is that team still in existence?
They got a pretty good pool out there in their stadium. You think there's any urine in there?
Oh.
I never see anybody get out. And it gets cloudier throughout the game.
It's nasty.
It's the pee.
Yeah, it's nasty. Like, they're hiring a guy I've never heard of potentially to be head coach. So
Liam Cohen?
Yeah, I'm out on that. Las Vegas, I'm out on. They don't even have a coach or a quarterback at this point in time.
They got Tom Brady, though.
But they do. He could do both.
Yeah, exactly.
He could really do both. He could call the game, play quarterback, and coach.
He's like Burt Reynolds from The Longest Yard.
Yep. Miami, I'm putting on my bottom feeder list. I think we're going to see a lot of attrition out of the Miami Dolphins. I think we're going to see player movement. I think we're going to see Tyreek Hill potentially traded. It's already starting the implosion there. I'll put them on the list. And Cleveland, just because they're Cleveland. And I have the Giants and Dallas on the outside looking in, hoping to get on this list of bottom feeders.
So, again, Detroit, Jacksonville,
Vegas,
Vegas,
Miami, Cleveland.
Detroit's going to be an interesting one to watch. They are losing a lot.
They
man.
Have the most eyes on their franchise outside of the Bears.
Yeah.
I think those are the two most focused teams going into next year. Yep. One, Dan Campbell, the training wheels are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Your
it's
support,
time to
your,
win, Dan.
Your support group has moved on. And not only that, but maybe Minnesota's got – I mean, that AFC North in general is just – Bears have a whole thing going on. Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell just got an extension.
Mm-hmm.
They basically have, from what we've heard, are going to move on from Sam Darnold, which means they have Daniel Jones and J.J. McCarthy. Big gamble.
I mean, who's going to start there?
Real quick, so we got like 40 seconds. What if he does – like, let's say McCarthy's not ready. He still has a setback and injury. What if Daniel Jones goes 14-3 next year with Kevin O'Connell?
Well, Kevin O'Connell goes right to the Hall of Fame. Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
I mean,
people may be saying, hey, Andy, take a seat. This guy may be better. Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. He's the guy that goes on family vacations by collecting aluminum out of trash cans at the neighborhood.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but you can go on vacation if you want to do it. You just got to go through people's trash and make it your gold. And that's what he's doing with Darnold, Cousins, and then would be Daniel Jones. It's not going to happen.
I told you that story about Mahomes' trash, right? When Channel 9 showed where his house was on TV, friend's mother went over there and rummaged through his trash.
What the world?
Yikes.
She was a hoarder.
Or just weird. Weird going through people's trash. A lot of babies over there. A lot of diapers, man. Ugh. Oh, thanks. Remember those diaper genies? You put the diaper in there and turn the wheel?
I had one. I never thought it worked well.
Came out like a sausage.
Yeah, but it just didn't work. We just threw them outside.
That'll knock you back four steps when you open that lid, man.
Oh
boy. Championship coverage championship game coverage, if I can say it right, is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, you're going to go ahead and get my Richard of the Week out of the way because the Baseball Hall of Fame was announced yesterday, and there was one interesting story that took away from everything that should have been. We'll explain on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right. There's always that one guy. By the way, if you missed it, yesterday there were three baseball players that are announced to be into the Hall of Fame class of 2025. Ichiro Suzuki, Billy Wagner, and...
If you're watching the Today Show this morning, CC Sabathia.
Mm. And Wayne Summers, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yes, here, let me see if I can play it for you.
Ichiro played most of his career with Seattle Mariners and owns the record for most hits in a single season.
All right, and who else? Starting pitcher CC Sabathia.
CC Sabathia.
Never heard of him.
It in.
I've done TV. They can spell it out the way it sounds.
Yeah, so that's bad. Rough on the producer.
CC Sabathia.
Sabatha. Sabathia.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It really isn't.
Math is for me because I couldn't do simple math on the air on the fly earlier. I thought 117 plus 117 was 328.
Yeah, it's fine.
My ACT score was 12. The first time I took it, I'm kidding.
Okay, nice.
No, I got a 17 and then a 24.
No, that's good.
And 24 I was okay with. I was like,
24 is good.
You proud, dude?
Is it? I never took the ACT. We took the SAT.
I mean, 24 is probably, I would say, below average.
No, I actually think the average is really bad. So 24 is good. I think the average
is a lot of people, you get 4 points by putting your name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Wrong.
No, that's not true at all.
Yeah. All I had to put on my application was for KU was out of state. They're like, ooh, somebody different.
Wow. Bring him in.
Somebody wants to come here?
That's right. You're leaving where to come here? Sure, we'll take you. Quick, say yes.
Oh, man.
Sabathia and Ichiro.
Yeah. So the biggest story I think that we got robbed of yesterday, outside of the first Japanese-born player ever to be in the Hall of Fame, CC Sabathia, a guy that I remember when he started to turn it on for Cleveland, I was like, all right, this guy's going to be a problem. My dad goes, no, he won't. He'll be a Yankee.
Well, yeah.
He got traded to Milwaukee, then started hitting bombs as a pitcher, was just a almost like a Charles Barkley presence on the mound, threw a slider from hell, and just was a stud.
He was awesome. I love CC.
Billy Wagner was one of the first type of closers that went out there, just like, I'm going to piss lightning bolts down the plate, and if you can hit it, you can. If not, it's going to be 100 to 101. Also told Mac the story. He used to be a right-hander, broke his arm, learned how to throw left-handed at 100 miles an hour.
Did you see his call yesterday when he got it?
Emotional.
Oh, my God, it was great. Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
So it's interesting, and then, you know, the one thing that took the story was Ichiro Suzuki got everybody's vote to be a Hall of Famer. Except one person.
Do we know who it is yet?
I hope somebody can help me find that because I will call them out as the Richard of the Week.
Because
right now
loser.
They're just the one guy that didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki.
And if you don't say who you are, then you're a coward. And there's no other way to
or
put
just,
it. Be a man.
Yeah, stand on business on why you didn't do it. Because we all know you, I would assume, they all probably talk to each other. Like, we're all voting Ichiro in. And like, yep, yep, yep. And then there's that one Judas in the background that's got his fingers crossed, like Veruca Salt talking about the everlasting gobstoppers. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm not voting.
Why wouldn't you vote for Ichiro
to
Suzuki?
To be that guy.
To be a douche?
To be that
guy. That's the only way
because
you can
you
do
know
it.
Because you know the room is betting
or
voting all for Ichiro. Even George Brett only got like 92%.
Yeah, him and Nolan Ryan didn't even get. The only person to ever get 100% of the vote was Mariano Rivera. And a couple of people didn't vote for Nolan Ryan.
Did Jeter get
100? No, 99%.
So there's another one.
Like, I think he missed like by two votes or something. So Mariano Rivera is the only guy to get 100% of the vote. And every time the Hall of Fame announcements come up now, I go back to the All-Star game that was here in Kansas City in 2012. And we had the head of the Baseball Hall of Fame on. And he said to us, he goes, look, man, this is going to run out of steam real fast if we don't start putting these steroid guys in. And I think a lot of people are starting to kind of come around and realize like the Hall of Fame needs to have Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro and Sammy Sosa and Andy Pettit and like all these guys in. It was
never going to happen.
I know. But
never
I mean,
because these voters, man,
They're the worst. They are the absolute worst, these Hall of Fame voters.
Carlos Beltran just missed it. He got 70%. I think he needs 75.
75. Yeah. He's like three or four votes short.
A-Rod got 37%.
A-Rod's a Hall of Famer. There's no way you can tell me A-Rod is not a Hall of Famer. And I don't want to hear about the steroids anymore. Like, that's complaining about the officials now in Major League Baseball or in the NFL
or
the Chiefs,
create their own wing.
No, don't even do that. Put them in. It was part of the era. Every era in baseball is tarnished. In the 80s, they were all popping greenies, man. Like, everybody was doing that.
Sign
in the 70s,
up.
Everybody was doing blow. You know, there was a time in baseball where, you know.
Which era I want to go to.
There's a time in baseball where they didn't allow African Americans to play. Like, every era of baseball has something that was tainted about it.
Yeah, well, nobody's ever been Babe Ruth.
There was a gambling, you know, era of baseball, obviously.
Black Sox.
You know, so we get this era, and this is the one that everybody's going to try to plant their Michigan flag on and say they don't belong in the Hall of Fame when they do belong in the Hall of Fame, because if you didn't want that stuff in baseball, then baseball would have stopped it. But baseball saw what was happening. They saw the money that was rolling in, and they didn't do anything until McGuire got busted by some reporter in St. Louis for having whatever Andro in his locker.
In August in Kansas City, it's harder than two rats in a sock.
Again, he's not wrong.
August in Kansas City is hotter than two rats in an effing sock.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ichiro, for that classic quote.
Here's another good Ichiro story that I didn't know until I saw this morning. One morning in 2017 at spring training, he's in the coach's locker room. This comes from Baseball Quotes. And he looks at his cell phone, and Ichiro says to the coaches, I got a message that I don't recognize. The guy said he'd gotten my number from Alex Rodriguez and that he wanted to come meet me and study my stretching system. What's the guy's name? Asked one of the coaches. Ichiro scrolled to the end of the text. Some gang named Tom Brady. Who the F is Tom Brady?
Oh, wow.
Like, Ichiro just doesn't care. I love watching him hit, too.
No doubt. Another thing that we need to get 100% of the votes on and behind, cheaper menus in ballparks.
Yep.
I understand you're going to have like your niche little stands where they sell the pulled pork helmet nachos, and they're going to be $15, whatever. You can package the souvenir in there as a way to get away with it. But there are certain teams that have done this. We know the Atlanta Falcons do this at the Georgia Dome or whatever, the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Baltimore, the Orioles, Birdland Value Menu, $4 hot dogs, $4 pretzel bites with cheese, nachos, $4. Cinnamon pretzel bites with cream cheese icing, $4. popcorn $3.50, peanuts $2.50, a packaged dessert $3.
What do you think the packaged dessert is? Like a Hostess cupcake?
If you would have asked my mom back in the day, I don't know if you'd want the answer on air. I will bring this up as well. They have refillable 16-ounce soda cup, $4.
That's a hell of a deal right there.
I mean, you don't have to get wasted at the game. You just sip on Sprite or Pepsi or Coke, whatever it is.
Yeah.
16.9-ounce bottled of water, $4. Still overpriced. Select beers, 12 ounces, $5.
That's a good deal for the ballpark.
12-ounce seltzers, $6.
Yeah.
Let's just make this a unanimous thing in baseball because we already know we're going to bitch and moan about the parking. We know we're going to complain about the price of our tickets. But, let's have some sort of give, right? I can actually go to a game and eat with my family for, $35 instead of myself, it's $35. I love that they're doing the cheaper menus at the ballpark.
It's
you want
good.
More fans to come out? You want people to get there? Speed the game up. Make it more entertaining.
Make it more affordable.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
real
great. And that's a good baseball team that do. That's not the Marlins.
Right.
The White Sox or somebody like that, trying to get fans back to the ballpark. That's a winning organization that was in the playoffs last year that's doing that kind of stuff. Hope it becomes a trend.
No doubt about it. Your move, Kauffman Stadium.
We'll see. To 119th and row.
Yes.
No, I mean. Sorry.
The stat that I want to bring up on the other side is key in this game because it has been in the previous three meetings between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. What is it? You'll have to hang on and listen on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco, Dusty, and Mac, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.